The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Sarah A. Speed in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Sarah A. Speed.
Friends, good morning. For the last several weeks, as we have waded our way through the season of Lent, we have been reflecting on stories of spiritual resilience. Along the way, we have crafted a working definition. Spiritual resilience is a description of how, when buffeted by the storms of life, the faithful step back from the cliffs of cynicism and despair and continue to embrace a life of hope and joy. So today, as is our custom, we are turning to yet another character in Scripture who models resiliency for us. And before we turn, I invite you all to join me in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, dust the cobwebs from our ears. Dust the worries from our hearts and chase the distractions from our minds, for we want to hear you. So speak to us now, as you spoke to Paul and Ruth and the disciples and the apostles. Speak to us as only you can, for we are listening. Amen. Our scripture passage for today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. Listen now for what God might be saying to us today. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Do any of y'all remember Kid President? Does that name ring any bells? I'm seeing some nods. Back in 2012, in the midst of a presidential election and all the vitriol that comes with that in our country, a man named Brad Montague paired up with his 9-year-old adopted nephew, Robbie, to make silly, hopeful videos for their family. Brad put 9-year-old Robbie in a cheap suit and tie, sat him behind a small wooden desk, and invited him to give a presidential speech. Robbie instead decided to dance. Robbie's family and friends got such a kick out of his whimsy, out of his energy, that Robbie and Brad decided to keep making these videos. And before too long, those videos of this hopeful, goofy, self-declared kid president began circulating the internet, gaining millions of views and countless attention. One of my favorite kid president videos is called A Letter to a Person on Their First Day Here. Unlike the rest of his videos where Robbie plays the role of a president, this video was made for Robbie's newborn cousin. In this video, Robbie still wears the presidential suit and tie, but instead of sitting behind a wooden desk, he stands in a nursery to tell his baby cousin a little bit about this world. I want to share some of that letter with you. And to do so, I want to invite some of our young Presbyterians, possibly future presidents, forward to help me read. Adrian and Remy, y'all can come on up. Here are excerpts from A Letter to a Person on Their First Day Here.
There's lots to see here.
There's lots to smell.
There's corn dogs. Ugh, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Some days, gross things will happen. Some days, awesome things will happen.
Some days you'll get ice cream, and some days you won't.
Some days, your kite will fly high. Some days, it'll get stuck in a tree. That's just how it is here.
There's plenty of reasons to dance. You just gotta look for them. Don't worry though, you won't be doing this alone.
And you, you're awesome. You're made that way. You're made from love, to be love, to spread love.
I don't think I told you this yet, but we're really glad you're here.
If you forget it, you'll need a pep talk, and that's okay.
But for now, just remember, you're awake.
You're awesome.
You were made from love to be love.
Live like it.
Can we give them a round of applause? Thank you both. Job well done. This particular kid president video, giving advice to a newborn, has over 5 million views on YouTube. And I think the reason that it does is because Kid President touches on something honest about our life. In this video, he acknowledges, in that sweet childlike way, that life is not always easy. There will be days where we need resilience. There will be days where we need to press on, days where our kite might get stuck in a tree. And when those days come, Kid President's advice is to remember that you are awesome. Or more eloquently, to remember that you are made from love, to be love, to spread love. I have to imagine that if the Apostle Paul ever had a chance to meet Kid President, he would wholeheartedly agree. The book of Philippians is written by Paul, who is featured on the cover of our bulletin. You all probably know a thing or two about Paul. Paul was a giant in the faith. Paul had a miraculous conversion. Paul survived a shipwreck. Paul experienced jailbreaks and escaped a stoning. Paul comes about as close to an early church superhero as we get. And yet, Paul was also very human. And we see that in our text for today. Our passage this morning starts with Paul sharing his resume. Now, if my southern grandmother read this portion of scripture, she would say that Paul had gotten a little too big for his britches, which is southern talk for Paul is not very humble here. But that's not why people love Paul. No one has ever said, you know what I just love about that apostle? It's his humility. That's not what they say. So Paul, true to his character, begins by bragging on his resume. He says, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. And then he goes on to list all the ways that he is a good and faithful Jewish man. Paul reminds us that he is a true Israelite, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul reminds us that he has lived according to the law, serving as a Pharisee. Paul even goes as far as to declare himself blameless. Feels like a bold move. If I'm honest, this moment with Paul reminds me a bit of a conversation I had with my parents when I was a teenager. I can't remember what the conversation was about. I was probably trying to argue my case for why I should get to hang out with my friends on a school night or something to those lines. Regardless of the topic, before storming to my room at the end of the conversation, I remember looking my parents in the eyes and saying with conviction, "You two are so lucky to have me as your kid. It could be so much worse." It was not my most humble moment. Nor was this Paul's most humble moment. But then something shifts for the apostle. Paul says, "But whatever gains I had, those I come to regard as loss, as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." Whatever gains I had, I regard as rubbish? What is Paul saying here? It's hard to know for sure what's going through the apostle's mind in this moment as he sits in his jail cell writing to the church that he loves from far away. However, I cannot help but wonder if maybe Paul is seeing himself in a new light. I cannot help but wonder if maybe in this moment Paul is realizing that a resilient spirit cannot come from our resumes alone. A resilient spirit cannot come from our earthly accomplishments, awards, or accolades. A resilient spirit cannot rely on whether or not our kite will always fly high, because eventually we might hit a tree. I wonder if Paul is realizing in this moment that the seed of resiliency is not his worldly worth, but the fact that he belongs to God. Everything else, it might as well be rubbish. I remember a few years ago, I was on the M5 bus on the way to church. It was early, so the bus was packed with folks trying to get to school and to work. On the very back bench of the bus, there was a young dad with his daughter and son. The son's feet weren't long enough to touch the floor, so they kicked freely, shoelaces untied. The daughter, on the other hand, sat wrapped up in herself, her bucket hat pulled low over her eyes, her arms crossed, staring out the window. Right as I took my seat at the back of the bus, I heard the daughter say to the dad from under the brim of her hat, "Dad, I have no friends at school." She went on, voice tight, clearly trying to keep back tears. She said, "I don't want to go, Dad. Nobody invites me to play on the playground, and no one will sit with me at lunch." She said, "I hate school. I have no friends." As her tears began to fall, the dozen or so adults crammed into the back of the bus all tried to look busy. We tried to look like we hadn't just heard that 8-year-old's heartbreaking confession in a New York effort to give them some privacy. But we all heard as the dad took his daughter's hand and said, "Honey, you are so good. You are made from love, and you are so worthy of love. I'm so sorry that the other kids don't see that. They are missing out because you are awesome." She rolled her eyes, wiping back tears. And he said, no, I'm serious. I wish those other kids knew your heart. I wish they knew how funny you were and how creative you are. I wish the way they could see you like I see you, because you are good. As I looked around the bus, more than one adult had their jaw clenched, tears brimming in their eyes at the tender sincerity in that dad's voice. Because we all knew that moment. We all know what it feels like to be that little girl. We all know what it feels like to feel lonely or overlooked, anxious or insecure. We all know what it feels like to need a pep talk, to need some source of resilience. And in those moments, I think we can learn from Paul. For Paul says, your worth is not rooted in the way the world sees you. Your worth is not rooted in how many friends you have. Your worth is not rooted in your resume or who sits with you at lunch or how high your kite flies. Your worth comes from the God who created you good. Your worth comes from being known in Christ, and that's where we draw resiliency from. That is how we press on. And will it be easy? No. Will we need pep talks? Yes. But will God's love for us ever run out? Absolutely not. I can remember where I was when this truth really sunk in for me. The notion that I could be loved by God just as I am. I grew up going to church, which meant I had heard that message over and over and over again, but it wasn't until I was a college student at the Montreat College Conference that it really sunk in for me. There was a preacher at the conference that week. Her name was Amy Buchanan, and Amy seemed almost desperate for us college kids to get it into our heads that we were loved exactly as we were. She preached about it all week. She said it over and over again in 1,000 different ways. But on the last day of the conference, in the closing worship service, Amy asked us to stand up and to turn and face a neighbor and to have eye contact with that neighbor for 1 whole minute. Y'all, I would have sworn that the earth had circled the sun at least twice in that time. 1 minute staring into a stranger's eyes is a long time. But as we looked at each other, we were challenged to try to see the person in front of us as God sees them. And then at the end of that minute, we had to tell each other, you are loved exactly as you are by the God of heaven and earth. And you would be shocked how few dry eyes were in the room. Amy died just a few weeks after that conference. It was sudden and surprising. Her insistence that we belong to God was one of the last gifts she gave us, the conviction that we are loved by our Creator. She just couldn't say it enough. She needed us to hear it. And in that moment, somehow staring into the eyes of a stranger, I believed it. Maybe for the first time, I truly believed it. I think the processing that Paul does in his letter to the Philippians, I think this might be the moment when Paul finally believes it too. As he writes from his jail cell, he says, I've got a great resume. I've got skills and experiences that can carry me through, but at the end of the day, none of that matters. At the end of the day, all of that is rubbish. The only thing that matters now, when the world is hard and I am alone, is knowing that I am loved and seen and claimed by God. Because knowing that, I can press on. My friends, I don't know if you believe it or not. So in case you are sitting there still hoping that this good news will sink in and take root. I'm going to tell you what Kid President told you. And I'm going to tell you what the dad on the M5 bus said. And I'm going to tell you what the Apostle Paul knew. I'm going to tell you what you've heard in this pulpit 1,000 times and what you will undoubtedly hear again. I'm going to tell you today and tomorrow. And I'm not going to stop saying it until it sinks in. The core of your identity is not your accomplishments. It's not your resume. It's not who you are in the eyes of society. The core of your identity is that you belong to God. You were made from love to be love. You are so good. And nothing can ever change that. So, like Paul, may we be brave enough to let that good news sink in and fuel our resilience. You are loved. Live like it and press on. Amen. Family of faith, some days you will need a pep talk. The rug will get pulled out from under you and you will need a shot of resiliency. And when those days come, remember Kid President and the dad on the bus and the Apostle Paul. Remember that you are loved. And as you leave this place, may you love as if love is not a scarcity. May you hope like there is a better tomorrow. May you live like we belong to one another, because we do. And may you trust that nothing can separate you from the love of God. In the name of the lover, the beloved, and love itself, go in peace.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.